On today's episode of 23's The Mic, we recap the NFL's Week 12, highlighted by the play of the year, the Hail Mary. We have our midseason awards. The Bears handed another embarrassing loss, this time to the Vikings on Monday night. So let's go. What's up, everybody? Welcome into 23's The Mic. We are back after a little two-week hiatus based on the election and some other stuff I had going on. I'm your host, Nadeem. You can find me at TheDreamN22 on Twitter and at NadeemN22 on Instagram. Follow the show at 23's The Mic on Instagram and Twitter. You can do stories on Twitter now, which is interesting based on the newest update. You can find the show, you can stream it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify, whichever is your preferable podcast provider. Man, what a day. So, Chicago sports right now is in a little bit of a tailspin. The Bulls are rebuilding. The Bears looked terrible yesterday. We'll get to that later in the show. And this morning it was announced that Theo Epstein has stepped down as president of baseball operations for the Chicago Cubs. After 9 years rebuilding the team, winning a World Series, and having going to three straight NLCS appearances from 2015 to 2017, I think we can say that Theo's time here was a great success. And we owe a lot to that man as Chicago Cubs fans. But just to see him go, it's kind of like the end of an era. He's going to be replaced by his right-hand man, Jed Hoyer, as the president of baseball operations, who's also our active GM. So we'll see how they handle that situation. But Theo's contract is set to expire next year, and he opted out, basically stepped down a year in advance to take a year off and figure some things out. This is truly an end of an era in Chicago Cubs baseball, the golden era of Chicago Cubs baseball, because this is the best stretch, I would say, that maybe this team's ever had in its history. And this history spanning back to the 1800s. So you're not talking about just, one of these teams that just came. But one of the new teams that are built into the league, maybe in the late 90s or early 2000s, like the Texans or the Tampa Bay Rays or something like that. It's a sad day, definitely. Like, I love Theo. All of us, any Chicago Cubs fan owes so much to Theo based on the fact that he actually brought a World Series ring to the Cubs after 108 years. It didn't end the way that we wanted it to, with some disappointing losses in 2018 and 2020 to the Marlins this year. But you know what? This team, the way it's built, the way it's assembled, it's built as a contender year in and year out, and we have Theo to thank for that. Moving on, this is the craziest play I can remember. I touted it in the moment, maybe as a prisoner of the moment. I said it's the greatest play I've ever seen. And when I went back on that to think about what that meant and the kind of in the moment, the magnitude of the situation and everything around it, the only play that I can remember that has maybe an argument against this, and maybe I'm being biased because I'm just thinking of the last 20 years, is the Diggs touchdown, the Minnesota Miracle. Because this game was a game between the Arizona Cardinals and the Buffalo Bills, a 7-2 Buffalo Bills team and a 5-3 Arizona Cardinals team. A win for the Bills would put them in prime position to win the AFC East and to maybe have a top spot in the AFC. And a win for the Cardinals would mean that, based on how the LA and Seattle game would go, and we'll get into that later, would vault them maybe to the top of the division, but a loss would set them back dramatically at 5-4. That could be, like, after last week, especially losing disappointingly to the Miami Dolphins at home, the Cardinals, who were once a promising team, would be a 5-4 team with two straight losses after a great win in Seattle. And Kyler Murray is right there in the MVP conversation. So the play of the year, the play of the past couple years, really, is the Buffalo Bills were down 23-26. They come back. Josh Allen throws a dart in the corner of the end zone to Stephon Diggs. A great throw, a great catch. And the Bills are up 30-26 with 34 seconds left. After two plays of getting the ball a little bit down the field, with 11 seconds left, Kyler Murray takes the snap, rolls out to his left, and evades two defenders. He's shifting, he's juking around, and then just fires, launches across his body, doesn't even look at the play. After he threw that ball, he was turned around and he had to look at the Jumbotron. And DeAndre Hopkins, amidst three defenders, makes the most incredible catch I've ever seen. What a play. You just see his gloves, his mammoth Jordan gloves, just going up and grabbing that ball. And the Arizona Cardinals win the game on a Hail Mary 43-yard touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins, 32-30. Some bettors may be upset because the Cardinals did not cover, electing to take a knee instead of going for the extra point attempt field goal, because of the fact that if that field goal is blocked, that's the only way that the Bills could come back and win that game. This game solely puts Kyler Murray right there in the MVP conversation with the likes of Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. We'll get to the midseason awards in just a minute, but the fact that he is propelling this team, he's the first QB in history to have a rushing and a passing touchdown in five straight games. This is the history of the NFL, a rushing and a passing touchdown. Now, the difference between him and a guy like Russell Wilson is the difference between him and a guy like Lamar Jackson is Kyler Murray can, one, throw the ball accurately. He's got a great arm. You saw it there. That throw, as great as the catch was, that throw was incredible across his body, right where it needed to be. And it was just a phenomenal throw in three defenders to put it on a line right there where it needed to be. Just incredible throw. Maybe only Aaron Rodgers can do something like that. I don't even know if Patrick Mahomes can do something like that. But the fact that he's also using his running as a weapon, it's not an escape trick that he uses. The crazy part about it is I was just watching some film from about 15 years ago because I was watching some old Larry Fitz moments and some highlights, is that Kyler Murray, what he's doing now would have been thought of as trick plays back there, just those little read option handoffs and the fake read options and then keeping the ball and throwing it down the field. I mean, he is excelling, and he's making that second year leap that we expect most people to do nowadays, because that's just the norm. Lamar Jackson did it last year. Carson Wentz did it in his second year. Jared Goff did it in his second year. So look for these guys to just keep progressing. And Kyler Murray, like I said, right there in the MVP conversation. Speaking of MVP conversations, we'll quickly go over the midseason awards because we missed out last week. For MVP, I got to go Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Russell Wilson has had this MVP conversation locked up. He has 28 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. But those 10 interceptions came in the last 2 weeks. He's thrown four interceptions. This week against the Rams, he threw a terrible interception where he had room to run. Instead of running, he elects to throw across his body to the left, down the field, and it gets picked off in the back of the end zone. Russell Wilson has not been good the last 2 weeks. And it's not even he's just been good, the team's lost. He has not been good. And as much as people say don't blame Russ, there has to be an onus of blame that goes on him because of the fact that they're saying the entire year that, you know, it's all Russell Wilson. He's putting the team on his back. As bad as the Seahawks defense is, Russell Wilson has actually been playing bad these past couple weeks. Patrick Mahomes is my MVP so far through the midseason. He has 25 touchdowns to one interceptions, 2,600 yards. His completion percentage is 67%. His quarterback rate over the first eight games is 115.9. He's playing phenomenal, but 25 to 1 interception touchdown interception ratio is incredible. the Chiefs are the best team in the league. I don't think there's a doubt about that. The Chiefs and then everybody else. There's like a big gap between the Steelers or maybe the best team in the NFC, whoever you think that may be. For offensive player, oh, also right in that conversation, I would say second would be Aaron Rodgers. He's been playing well, even though they had a scare against the Jaguars the other night. And then Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray leads the league in rushing touchdowns. Leads the league in rushing touchdowns. Incredible. For my offensive player of the year, it's got to be Alvin Kamara. I don't think anybody has any disagreements or anything with that. He has been not only doing pretty well, he's an okay running back for sure in the running game, but just what he provides to the Saints and his importance on that team, especially with an older, aging Drew Brees. It's like unquantifiable. Like he has more receiving yards than he has rushing yards, and he has about 500 rushing yards, and he has about 650 receiving yards. He's got 11 total TDs on the year. And he's been playing great. Maybe second to him would be Dalvin Cook, but right now it's definitely Alvin Kamara and his importance to that New Orleans Saints team. My defensive player of the year, it is between Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald, and my quarter season prediction was Myles Garrett, so I'm going to stick with that. Myles Garrett is carrying this Browns defense right now. The secondary has been getting torched, but as you saw this week in a brutal game against the Texans, and we'll get into that later, Myles Garrett putting on a show and tied for the league lead in sacks. Offensive Rookie of the Year, it's got to be Justin Herbert for what he's been doing. I know everyone wants to talk about Joe Burrow and how great he is, but right now Joe Burrow isn't as efficient as Justin Herbert is. And I mean, I get that Justin Herbert definitely has more to work with. I would say that Justin Herbert has better receivers. T. Higgins is an upcoming receiver for the Bengals. A.J. Green's well past his prime. Tyler Boyd's okay, but Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen is probably a top 10 receiver in the league. Mike Williams is a great red zone deep threat. Justin Herbert has 19 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. He's got a 102.8 quarterback rate with 2,300 yards. Nothing shabby about that, especially only playing 2 or 3 less games than Joe Burrow has. So the one thing is, it's still up in the air because it's not like the Chargers are winning games. Like, they're losing pretty emphatically. So, and then my defensive rookie of the year got to be Patrick Queen. I would love to give it to Kenneth Murray. I've just seen more from Patrick Queen this year. He's a stud all around on the defensive side of the ball. And the comeback player of the year got to be Alex Smith. Alex Smith had a career high 390 yards this week against the Lions when it looked like he might never play another down of football after almost losing his leg, which is insane. So those are our midseason awards. We'll get back in a couple weeks with some 3-quarter seasons awards, or maybe we'll just do the end of this year awards to see where we are at with what actually happens. So now let's talk about the Bears and the Vikings. Oh my goodness, what a terrible poop show this was. The Bears lose to the Vikings 19-13. Nick Foles had 106 yards and an interception. Cordell Patterson, the one highlight of this game for the Bears, an 104-yard kickoff return touchdown. He had 12 carries for 30 yards. For some reason, Cordell Patterson became our lead running back in this game when we brought up Lamar Miller from the practice squad. Didn't really give Lamar Miller any rushes at all, which is surprising because he caught 2 passes, but they had Artavis Pierce have 3 rushes. The Bears finished this game with 149 yards total. They had 14 second half yards. 14 second half yards. 14 after they had quote unquote replaced play callers and play calling duties and given the job to Bill Lazor. And man, the Bears defense again keeps them in this game. It was a 19-13 final score. The Bears had 2 chances at the end of the game to come back and win. They did not. The Bears defense held Dalvin Cook to 43 yards before Akeem Hicks was injured late in the game, and he ended up finishing with 96 yards. So you see the importance of Akeem Hicks there, because 53 rushing yards after he was injured tells you the whole story there. The secondary got torched in this game. Justin Jefferson, what a stud out of LSU. 8 for 135. Adam Thielen, the greatest white receiver of all time, had 2 touchdowns. The play calling here for the Bears is atrocious on the offensive side of the football. Let's just be honest. And we've been talking about this all year long. This is the worst Bears offense I've ever seen. And, the best way to go about this is to just completely tank, because there's so many good quarterbacks in this draft. I don't understand why you wouldn't go after one of them. Like Trevor Lawrence, probably no, but maybe trade up to get a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance or a Zach Wilson or a Mac Jones, like somebody to kind of come in, a good quarterback to come in. And guess what? All of those 5 guys that I just mentioned are better QB prospects than Mitchell Trubisky was. Just another terrible game for the Bears. I mean, what more can you say about this team? They go into a bye next week. And then after that, it's so insane to me. Just the fact that people didn't see this coming, and the 5-1 start was just such a facade. Because after this bye, we have the Packers, the Lions, the Texans, the Vikings, the Jaguars, the Packers. Maybe 2 of those games are a win, and you end up 7-9. Who does that help? With the 17th, 18th pick in the draft, that's not going to help anything. I'd rather go worse than that, go 5-11, maybe lose out, completely replace the front office, get rid of Pace, get rid of Nagy, and start over. Maybe get some Lincoln Riley in there, even though that's a pipe dream and he'll never come to the Bears, but Lincoln Riley would be great. But, I mean, just get some, maybe Jim Harbaugh from Michigan. He's definitely going to leave Michigan, so maybe he comes back to the NFL. You get him paired up with a guy like Justin Fields. Who knows? That would be a great tandem. All right, now it's time for the NFL's good, the bad, and the ugly. My good for this week is Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after losing 38-3 against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday Night Football last week. They bounced back, put up their highest point total of the season, 46 points against the Carolina Panthers. 46-23 the final. Tom Brady had 341 yards and 3 touchdowns. Ronald Jones, 23 carries for 192 yards and a touchdown. Chris Godwin had 92. Mike Evans had 77 and a touchdown. Touchdowns to Cameron Brate and Rob Gronkowski. And Antonio Brown, 7 catches for 69 yards. The Bucs defense held the Panthers in check for pretty much all of the game, only accumulating 187 yards of total offense. Takeaways. 2 takeaways, a fumble, and an interception. This Bucs defense is back. This was a great bounce back win. I don't think Brady has ever had 2 bad losses in a row. He definitely didn't have it this time. The Bucs are 7-3. And again, it's just, can you do it against the best teams, really? The Carolina Panthers have been a good team that's kind of hung in there with each team that they faced. This was the first time they got just blown out flat out of the water. My bad for this week is the Seattle Seahawks, who have come down dramatically from a 6-1 start. I think they were 6-0, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe they were 5-0. They lose to the Los Angeles Rams 23-16. Russell Wilson, what has happened? The fall from grace, 248 yards, 2 picks. There was no real running game outside of Russell Wilson. Alex Collins got in the game for the Seahawks, and he had a touchdown, 43 yards. Tyler Lockett had 66 yards, but DK Metcalf, only 2 receptions on 28 yards. Jalen Ramsey just completely blanketed him. This game was about the Los Angeles Rams defense. They had 6 total sacks, 2 picks, and a fumble recovery. They balled out in this game for sure. The Seattle Seahawks are now looking at second place in the division, or third place right now, actually. Apologies. Third place in the division with the Cardinals at first, the Rams in the second spot, and the Seahawks in the third spot now based on the tie-breaking rules, each team at 6-3. My ugly was that Browns and Texans game. Final score, Cleveland wins 10-7. The wins are brutal. This game started 34 minutes late. due to those crazy wins. And then the Nick Chubb play at the end. There was not much offense in this game. Pretty much a defensive dominated game because of just the wind was crazy. You see like the throws that Baker Mayfield and Deshaun Watson were making. Kind of wild, but they were just being completely taken away by the wind. Nick Chubb had a 59-yard run at the end of the game when the Browns were up 10-7. And they were trying to ice the game and steps out at the 1 yard line. The Browns cover was three. The Browns spread to cover was 3.5. They were up 3. And he stepped out at the 1 yard line with a wide open lane to the end zone. I just feel bad for people that bet the Browns to cover because that was a wide open touchdown he could have taken. But he makes a smart play, steps out, and then two kneel downs later, the Browns win 10-7. And are now 6-3, looking like a major playoff team. There's now a bunch of teams in the mix in the AFC. You have the Titans, the Colts, the Raiders, the Dolphins, and the Browns that are all vying for those three wild card spots with the Ravens. And I think the Dolphins actually might have a good chance of giving the Bills a run for their money for the top seed in the AFC East. So we'll see how the AFC plays out. Right now, the NFC is so wide open. You have the Bucks, the Saints, the Packers, the Seahawks, and, you know, the team from the NFC East that will come out with a losing record probably. So we'll see how this kind of plays out. The end this Thursday night, we have a great game. The Cardinals and Seahawks. This division tie is not going to stay tied for long. So we'll see how that plays out. But I cannot wait. Kyler Murray versus Russell Wilson, part two. It's going to be a great one to watch. Now, the last segment we have for today's show is our waiver wire targets. Get your waivers in before tonight as they go in tomorrow morning for fantasy football. Now, Wayne Gallman, if you have him, maybe I think he's rostered in about 50% of Yahoo leagues. He had a great game as the number two running back behind Devontae Freeman, who was placed on the IR. Devontae Freeman was placed on the IR last week, so you might have two more games of Wayne Gallman, who had two touchdowns in their win against the Eagles last week. Jacoby Myers is also somebody worth taking a look at. He had a 169-yard performance against the Jets last week, and then this week he had seven targets for 5 yards or 5 catches and 59 yards. And he threw a touchdown to Rex Burkhead, and he has a really good target share in the Patriots offense. The upcoming matchups that he has are against the Texans, Cardinals, and Chargers, who are great, great matchups for the wide receiver position. My boy Salubai, Salvin Ahmed, for the Miami Dolphins. He had 44 snaps this game against the Chargers, and he had 85 rushing yards and a touchdown, 14 fantasy points, a great game. There's at least one more week of Myles Gaskin on the IR, and they cut Jordan Howard, so this might be Ahmed's complete backfield to himself, unless Matt Breida returns from that hamstring injury. He is rostered in about 6% of leagues, so definitely, definitely go for him. Check your waivers to see if Nyheim Hines is out there. Indy seems to be doing this running back by committee. Give the ball to the hot hand because Nyheim Hines dominated the game against the Titans. But before then, again, Jonathan Taylor had carries. Jordan Wilkins had a good game against the Lions. So just monitor that situation. But last week, at least, Nyheim Hines looked like the best running back out of those three. And Michael Pittman Jr. also for the Indianapolis Colts. He took a massive step forward Thursday night. He's rostered in 10% of leagues. And he had 8 targets, 7 catches, and 100-plus receiving yards. His next games are against the Texans, the Titans, the Raiders, and the Texans again. So definitely look to see if Michael Pittman is on your waivers. He probably is, so definitely take a shot at him. I want to thank everybody for listening to today's episode. We will be back later this week with the recap of the Thursday night game and the preview of next Sunday's Week 11 matchup. You can find us at 23sandMike on Instagram and Twitter. I am Nadeem at 23s at TheDreamN22 on Twitter and at NadeemN22 on Instagram. catch us out on Apple Podcasts and Google Play and Spotify. So thank you guys for listening. This is 23's The Mic. Love you guys.